Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you can. If not, stay where you're at. Praise God. Worthy is God. Amen. 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 Looking at you. God is good. Amen. God's got a word today for you. You believe it? Did you come expecting? I believe that God is going to confirm things. I pray that you are reading your word this week. I pray that God's going to confirm things that God has already spoken to you this day or the last 5 days, 6 days, or maybe the last month. But God is going to speak to you this morning. He's going to confirm things in your heart. God's got a good message for you this morning. Do you believe it? Amen. 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 My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor. I just want to get to preaching. This is the last Sunday of this awesome series, Get in the Game. It's been a strong, compelling, and activating series. Amen. Today is October 31st. Halloween. I'm getting a lot of feedback. You guys getting a lot of feedback? And not in a good way, right? I want feedback. Am I running a little hot? I can speak up, no problem. Halloween, Hallows Eve. October 31st, and many times it's been equated to worship and or celebration of darkness and evil in this world. Did you know that Halloween's origins can be traced back to an ancient Celtic festival which was actually held on November 1st, tomorrow, in contemporary calendars? During the 19th century, immigrants brought this celebration to North America, where it spread in popularity and evolved in many ways. You know, oftentimes good things take a bad turn. And the enemy cannot create, but he can twist and manipulate. And so, even with this very thing that I'm about to talk to, see, according to tradition, through these couple hundred years, according to tradition, the spirits of the dead were able to come back to life and harm people and crops in the physical world. So this is what people decided to do, to dress up in costumes and lit bonfires to ward off those spirits. It's very interesting. Now, the long name of today, Halloween, is actually All Hallows Eve. Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And Hallows actually means holy person or saint. Tonight is actually the night before All Saints Day. That's tomorrow, All Saints Day. If you knew that, say amen. For centuries, Christians have remembered all the holy ones that have gone before us. So there are two very different ways to celebrate tonight. So no matter how you choose to celebrate or not celebrate tonight's activities, nonetheless, I'm reminded as I look around about the real evil that is found in this world that we live in. We're reminded of the world's evil that's currently displayed on many people's porches, in haunted houses, and these scary movies that are straight from the pit of hell. They are evil. They're inspired by the devil himself. I believe it. But it's also found on your nightly news and your social media's newest trending headline. This evil is also found in the church. Bickering, fighting, arguing, people pushing their unbiblical agendas and opinions onto others and saying, if you don't agree with me, you must be against me. It's not even in the Bible and you're fighting about it. It's creating division, confusion, and strife among the body of Christ, and this does not please our coach. This does not please our Savior, the incredible God. This morning, I want to remind the body of Christ who our real opponent is. Amen? Who's the real opponent in this game called life? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says this. I'm going to read out of the NLT. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Now listen up. Verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand firm. Stand your ground, put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as a helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But church, don't stop there. It keeps reading. We like to stop there and we think we've put on all the armor and we know everything to do. But you have more than just this weapon. See, the other things protect you from the devil. This fights against him, but there's another thing as well. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times. Come on, Pentecostals. Y'all should love this, right? Ooh, Shandaramba. Oh, hallelujah. Right? No English should be right there. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. When's the last time you prayed in the Spirit for somebody who didn't agree with you when it came to the political things? Come on now. Here's our real opponent, verse 12. But we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. I'm not against you. I'm not even against the ones that are lost and broken and hurting out there. The ones that are even in positions of authority. I'm not against them. At least that's what the Bible says. Here's what I am against. But I'm against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Against mighty powers in the dark world. And against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. The fight has been and will always be darkness versus the light. Kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. It's always good versus evil. Those are our favorite movies anyway, right? The good triumphs, carries over, and all of a sudden, the evil seems like they're winning, and then the good guys, they somehow win, right? And we're like, oh, praise God. We love those kind of movies. But the fact of the matter is, it's all been inspired by the beginning of time when Satan fell like lightning, when Satan, when he chose pride, right, over love and dedication to the Father. Ever since that moment, it's been good versus evil. Now, we have all played for the kingdom of darkness at one time or another. You were on that team until we were traded. Until God traded us for Jesus. And that costly trade, after that costly trade, we joined God's team. Amen? Ephesians 5, 8 and 9 says this, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Paul goes on to remind us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So if you've accepted the trade by inviting Jesus to be the Savior and Master of your life, you're on a new team. And your opponent as a child of light is now the evil rulers and authorities of this world and the evil spirits of the unseen world. Amen? So we need to get in the game together for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of light. Teamwork does make what? The dream work. Biblically speaking, though, teamwork is not the goal. Teamwork is the vehicle to accomplish the goal. Just because you attend a game does not mean that you're an athlete. Get in the game. No more spectating, it's time to participate. This is what Christ commissioned us to do. And oftentimes we think it's a group activity. I remember, okay, can I just be honest for a moment? And God has forgiven me for this. But I remember, my sister said the other day, in high school I was pretty popular, I got most outgoing, right? I've never met a stranger, everyone is my friend, right? I love talking to people, amen? Chris knows what's up. I love talking to people. It's like, I haven't met you yet. I just haven't met my new friend yet, right? And so what happened was, I kind of used that to my advantage. And so when in class, the teacher would say, hey, we got a group project. So what would I do? I didn't get the popular kids. I got with the smart kids. Are you? Come on now. Right? Everybody's my friend, so I'm going to get in the group with the smart kids because I want to get the best grade. And a lot of times, I wasn't as smart as them, so I leaned on them to do most of the work. Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? Man, I'm not so good at that, so I'm going to go ahead and get in that group because I want an A or a B. If I was doing this, I'd get a C, straight up. But I picked the smart kids, and then I relied on their strength. A lot of times, getting in the game has nothing to do with group activities. Has everything to do with an individual activity. Oftentimes, we think that church is all about group. Teamwork does make the dream work. But where's your team if you're all alone and you're in aisle 7 and somebody's crying their eyes out and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you got a minister? You gonna look for Pastor Harris to help you out? Man, I don't see any teammates here that could do most of the work because I'm not so good at this. Sometimes it's an individual activity. Get in the game when it's group activities and individual ones. Y'all heard me? Amen. We cannot spectate. Oftentimes we get in situations and we just watch them go right by us. Got a new mic, so I'm adjusting it a lot here. It keeps pulling on me. No more spectating, participate. This is what Christ commissioned us to do. Our mission, our goal is the Great Commission. Jesus told us to go, right? Don't sit in your holy huddle. This is where you get prepared for the battle. This is where you get, when you're sick and hurting, you get mended and healed. This is a hospital and a training ground. If this has always been a hospital to you, you have a problem, right? You're the one who keeps ripping off those bandages. God doesn't want you to stay in a hospital. He wants you to get in a hospital to be healed so that way you can put on the armor to go out and fight. Jesus told us to go, but before Jesus sends his followers out on a mission to accomplish the Great Commission, this is what Jesus told them to do something first. Do you remember what it is? And you can't go yet. You got to do something first. Jesus said, right? He gives the Great Commission, but he says, before you go, do this. Do you remember? Come on, Pentecostal, you know what's up. Wait for the power of the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, another word for that is wait, in Jerusalem until you're endued. And another way to say that is clothed with power from on high. First, before you go, you need to be clothed with power from on high. You need to be endued with power from on high. Before you get in the game, church, you have to have the power. You have to have an endowment from the coach. Only with the power are you able to get the team's goal accomplished. So what are you clothed with today? What have you put on? Have you put on a costume? Or from power from on high? Are you trying to be someone else? Or who God created you to be? Church, are you ready for the game? Guess what? Everybody's on a team. Everyone is on a team. See, some of you are on the injured list. You're on the inactive list. Or you're riding the pine on the bench. But nonetheless, you're on one of two teams, if you like it or not. If you've accepted God's trade, then you're on the team that is winning and will win. You're on God's team. And one of the major ways we keep fighting in the kingdom of God is this, Ephesians 6:18, we just talked about. The another way that you fight is you pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Title of today's sermon, pneuma. Pneuma means three things: wind, breath, or spirit. the further definition is this. Now hear me on this. The further definition in the Greek for pneuma is breathe or blow. It has a basic meaning of air in motion or breath as something necessary to life. Now I love this. The original meaning has been equated to this, breath of life. Now the Greek word pneuma is used 92 times in the New Testament. I'm just going to list two of them. Luke 3:16 in the New King James Version says, John answered saying, this is John the Baptist, to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, pneuma, and fire. I'm going to say it like a Pentecostal. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on now. Acts 1:4-5 says this in the New King James. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus. But wait for the promise of the Father, the gift of God, the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, pneuma, not many days from now. Pneuma. Breathe or blow air in motion or breath as something necessary to life. Pneuma, breath of life. If you're on the injured list or the inactive list or you've been riding the bench, doesn't the breath of life from our coach sound really amazing right now? Now, this is way better than taking a breather. Now, I played basketball from fourth grade through college. I know what it's like to take a breather. Coach, I'm tapping out, right? I need to take a breather. But pneuma is better than a breather. It's air in motion. He is the breath of life. Genesis 2:7, God created Adam and then breathed into him and Adam became alive. What was the breath that caused Adam to come alive? It was God's very own spirit. We need the breath of God to create life in us and breathe in a breath of God from the Holy Ghost to empower the life that we are living right now. We've all faced times where we feel that we need a refreshing. Amen? Now, y'all ain't telling the truth right now. We're living in a time and a day and age that we all need a refreshing. God, refresh your church, refresh my life, refresh my family, refresh my faith. Refresh me, God. We need life. We need breath. We need you to blow into us, God. Fill us again. We need to be clothed with power from on high in these days and the days ahead. As I was studying this week, I was reminded of one of my favorite sections of scripture. Now, I grew up Methodist. We'll slam on the Methodist. But we never read this verse, these verses in the Methodist church. I didn't understand it. When I first became saved, I went to a four-square church when I was in ninth grade, accepted Christ for the very first time. He became my personal Savior. See, there's one thing attending a church. There's another thing being the church. There's one thing to attend a game, and there's another thing to get in the game, right? And so for so long in my entire childhood, my parents drug me to church all the time, and I hated it. And then the way that people treated me at church, I hated church people, and I hated God. Because if church people are supposed to represent God and they treat me this way, God must hate me because they're treating me this way. I get that that's ignorant. God is not people, right? People will hurt you. It don't matter if you go to this church or if you go to work or wherever in your family. People will hurt you because we're all broken, okay? Whatever hurt that you have and you've been holding on to, you need to give it up because you've probably hurt someone else. We're all guilty of that because we're all not perfect. But I remember hating God until I accepted Christ into my life and I got in the game. I get it now. I get it now. But when I first got saved and then I went to a really large Foursquare church, I actually wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost until later on, many years down the line, when I heard messages about it and knew what it was about and they explained it. But I never really remember reading this until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And these were some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. Oftentimes we read the word and we don't really read the word. We don't take it for what it is. Sometimes you get so theological that you lose the basic doctrine of what's being taught in this word. And you get so over the top that you lose the basic meanings of what God said. And I remember this. It's so simple. And I'm like, that's so powerful, God. I want this. Acts 2, 1 and 4 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They were all together and believing the same thing, coming together in one spirit and all coming together as Christ, as their Savior. They're all coming together and suddenly there was a sound from heaven. Woo! As a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to be dividing tongues as fire. And it sat upon each of them. Woo, you ever just shake in the power of God? Sitting upon us, and God, I can't take any more of your presence. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, pneuma, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, pneuma, gave them utterance, gave them the ability. See, in the game of life, God's team must be clothed with power. We need a fresh wind. We need a fresh anointing. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to give us power to win for the kingdom of light. Here's what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon his team with heavenly power. The injured list goes to healthy status. Come on now. I was hurt. Now I'm healed. Man, I was walking with a limp, and now I got a gangster limp. I'm just like, come on now. That was for somebody out there in the name of Jesus. No, it was just me. You go from injured to healthy. You go from inactive to active. You go from being on the bench to being in the starting lineup. You go from the ones in the game to start winning the game. When you're filled with the power of God, when the Holy Spirit pneuma is upon you, it breaks bondage, it heals sickness and disease, it brings a supernatural peace, it gives supernatural wisdom and boldness, it sets the captive free, it empowers God's children to win in the game of life. But sadly, many Christians today are living just like everyone else on earth. They're falling into the same sins. They're gripped with fear and doubt. They have a life of defeat and worry instead of walking in victory. They're laying on their backs. My wife preached an amazing message on Wednesday. Get up! Get up! You're on your back. Get up! Right? She had this awesome thing. And Brother Bob was, he's an ex-boxer. He was awesome. He was standing right there. He had gloves on. And oh, man, while my wife was calling things out, man, he was punching the enemy. Man, the representation of that was sick. I mean, he's just jabbing and he's like, gah, right? I think he said, oh, you can, right? All my 30-year-olds, come on now, right? Yeah. Ah, no, just playing. That's Street Fighter. It's a video game. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm me and sometimes I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost. I just got to be me sometimes. But he's just bam, 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 bam. And the whole thing was about getting up. Getting in the game. And then she gave her an example that we're lying on our backs and God is saying, get up. And I had this picture when she was preaching that when you get up, you get a 10 count, right? But if you've ever seen movies like Rocky or something like that, or you've ever watched a boxing match, you're on your back and it's so cool. And then they zoom in on the crowd and they zoom in on your team. And they're like, come on, get up. You can do this. You've been fighting for this. Come on, get up. And they're just laying on their back. They get up on their knees. And they're like, come on, you can do it. And you're a little bit rocky. Come on, come on. You got this. You got this. The whole team is cheering. That's angels in heaven cheering you on. Get up. You got this. And you stand before the referee and you're a little bit wobbly and you're like, man, what just hit me? What just hit me? And he grabs your gloves and he looks you in the eyes and said, you ready? You ready? You ready? And then all of a sudden you see it. That killer instinct pops on. They're like, boom, I'm ready. And then all of a sudden, like, everything's good to go. See, that is today. That is right now. So many of you right now are on your back and God is saying, wake up, oh sleeper. Get up off the mat. Your team is cheering you on. The team in heaven is cheering you on. You can do this. Get up. You've trained for this. You can do this. Come on, get on your own strength. And you're getting up. You're getting up. And then somebody walks up to you and says, are you ready? And you're just a little bit wobbly. And then the Holy Ghost clothes you with power. And you're like, I'm ready. I'm ready. We need to be clothed with power from on high. The Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. 800 times. The first place the Spirit of God is ever mentioned, you know where it's at? The second verse in the entire Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is the third person of the Trinity, the triune God, manifested as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, God gave me this example, and then it went even a little bit further. A lot of times we're like, how does that work? How can three be one? Well, it's the same thing with H2O. H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. When you have two hydrogen atoms and you mix one oxygen atom and you pull it together, it becomes one water molecule. You got a liquid. You got a liquid. All right, I just put this in my own mind. This is not from the Bible. This is from me. Liquid is like the Father. Solid is like the Son because he was in human form. And then you have vapor like the Holy Ghost. Come on now. You got liquid, you got solid, and you got vapor, but they've never changed their structure. They're still H2O. Two hydrogen atoms, one oxygen atom comes together and creates a water molecule. And what is water? Water is life. Water sustains life, grows life, it is life. Without water, everything dies. Come on now. Holy Ghost gave that to me this week, man. I was just like, woo, come on. My church just, and they're like, I'm sure the angels are like, what is going on in here? I'm just dancing, join me. I don't know, you can ask Sherry or Pastor Mark every once in a while you hear me go, oh, come on now. Because God gives me something in the sermon that's just random. It's not like somebody called me and I was mad at him or something. The Holy Spirit is God in you and God on the earth today. As believers of Jesus, we are called to be led by the Spirit. And to be led by the Spirit, you got to be filled with the Spirit. That's how it works. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Baby, mic drop. I mean, that's just, do not be drunk with wine, that'll ruin your life. That's just God wisdom, right? And then it tells you what to do instead. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. Now, there's three steps of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. If you're taking notes, you can take these notes. If not, there's three steps. It's very simple, and I'm gonna bust it out, and I'm just going to highlight a few things because I believe that God's going to want to minister to us today before we move on. Three steps of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. This is step one. When you accept Jesus into your life, you are now called saved. That's the word that Christians use. I am saved. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you and makes us a new creation. We are born again. That is called the Spirit within. The Holy Spirit within. Come into my heart. God, I need a Savior. I've been trying to save my own life, but I can't do it. I need you. I recognize you are not only the Savior, but you were raised from the dead and you're coming back again. I ask you to be the master of my life. Spirit comes in and makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Step one. Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Step two is this, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, also known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we make it sillier or crazier or weirder than it really is. It's much more simple. In 2,000 years ago, what simply happened was a bunch of believers got together, asked for more of God, listened to what Jesus said, and said, we need this gift from heaven. They all got together, and after multiple days, the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they were baptized with something, not water, but with the power of God and fire, not literal fire, That would have been weird, and they would have burned a whole bunch of things down. The whole house would have went up in flames. But they were with full of fire. Another representation of fire is boldness. Holy Spirit boldness, strength, fire, purity. They purified them. There was less of them and more of God. Simply put, 120 got together, asked for more of God, and he showed up. And not only showed up, he filled them beyond measure than they've ever felt before, to overflowing. God met them there. Number two is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit upon. This is clothed with power. Okay? Third step is living in the Spirit. This is Spirit continuous, a refilling, a reclothing of power. Do it again, God. Do it again. I'm going to explain that here in a moment, how that works. All right, step one, the Holy Spirit is within us. We are made brand new. We are born again. First things first, we need Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Everything you believe, Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Everything is about the cross, what Christ did, and an empty tomb. Everything points back to Christ. Everything. If you could save yourself or clean up your own life, you probably would have already done it a long time ago, huh? But you can't, and you never will be able to. The fact is, we can't clean up our lives. That's why we need to be born again, born of the Spirit through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how that works. Being born again is not just saying a prayer and living life like the world. I'm going to say this because I believe it. I believe my doctrine that I've learned through all these years and all the reading says this. If you have said a prayer and you live like the world, you are not saved. You are not saved. The Bible proves it over and over again. Everyone who came in encounter with God, with Jesus face to face, was changed. They were never the same again. If you have not changed, if you have not changed and you've said a prayer, you're not saved. Let me explain why. When you are truly born again, there is a change that comes from the inside of you. Your spirit has supernaturally been recreated, and now God's Spirit is living on the inside of you. You cannot be the same if that happens. The Holy Spirit within is the moment you invite Jesus into your heart. It is then that the Spirit of God makes his home in your heart. If you're saved, you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says this. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Comes and lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Here's step two, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the Spirit upon you. The infilling is the Spirit upon us. This is when you're saturated for activation. Get off the bench, be empowered from on high, and get in the game. You've been saturated with activation. You're like, you're just standing there on the bench. You're like, "Coach, send me in, send me in, send me in." Oh, you're not wearing the right things. Some of y'all are going into a football game wearing basketball gear. And my doctrine's strong, my reading's strong, but I haven't been endued with power from on high. I love God, I read things about God, but I'm full of fear, I'm full of all this junk, I'm full of everything the world has to say, but I know my word. Man, you're walking into a football game wearing basketball gear. What are you wearing? When you get the Spirit of God upon you and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are saturated for activation. You're wearing the right gear for the right game. This is where your faith comes alive and you're activated. When I first became saved, God called me into ministry. When I went to Bible college, the first time I ever read the Word of God was in Bible college. Bad idea. It was very, very hard and very difficult. So that was tough, but man, I just kept reading. But everything was cerebral. Everything was in my head. Everything I knew was about what I knew in my head. It was not flowing like rivers of living water ever. I remember when we first went into ministry, went to Galesburg, Illinois in 2004 after I graduated college. We got married. We went right into ministry. And my wife can attest to this. Every single time before I preached, I threw up. Blah, blah, right? To this day, I really don't ever eat anything because I don't know what's going to happen. You think I'm up here cool and calm and collected. This is the Holy Ghost. It is never good. It is never easy to come up and preach to people, especially now that you're online, because that'll be forever. Like, dude, you see that thing in his teeth? Like, forever that is out there, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's nerve-wracking, but you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So every single time that I preached, I would throw it beforehand, and here's the reason why. I was afraid to mess up because I only knew what was in here. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I lead them down the wrong path? I was constantly afraid to preach the word because all I knew was head knowledge. That's all I knew, head knowledge. I have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I knew about it. I read about it. I probably even wrote a paper about it, but I really didn't get in the game. Then after I was out of ministry for a while and I went into the secular world and I worked many years, we went to this church. It's a Holy Spirit non-denominational church, and it was powerful, and we're like, these people are crazy, and I love it. I don't quite get it, but there's something that's drawing me here. There's something different about this church. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just reading a nice little Bible story and getting wonderful, wonderful teachings, and we get right into the Word of God, but there's no activation. Nothing happens from the church. It's always reading, and oh, I'm so glad I got fed today, and you don't go out and feed any other sheep, right? You don't go out and feed anybody else. It's just gathering all the food for yourself. Ooh, come on, that's good. You're not an ant, you're a sheep. Anyway, just felt that. Okay, and so I remember that. Then we went, and then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I remember this guy, he prayed for me one of the times, and he just touched me with a finger, and I was like, boom, and then lightning was like, da-da-da-da-da, right? I was like, ah, my wife remembers. I was like, ah, right in front of everybody. But I couldn't stop. It was like being shocked. You ever been like almost electrocuted, and you just can't get your hands off this thing, and you're like, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? I'm like, oh, man, it's a mess. And he touched me, and I was shocked with lightning, and then he touched me again, and I was shocked with lightning, and then he touched me in the head, and then I was like, oh, right, and I walked away, and I'm just like this. But I was never the same again. Never the same again. Never again did I preach another message, ever. I wasn't in ministry at the time, but later on, never again did I preach a message where I threw up because I was worried about what my head would say. I was always like, God, flow like rivers of living water right from me. Use my knowledge and my heart and my spirit just to flow on out of me because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. This isn't just about my mind. I got to use my mind and my spirit together and let it just flow right now. And then I never worried about it again. Right? But I never would have had that if I was not clothed with power from on high. When you're filled with the power of God, you will walk, you will talk, and you will believe with boldness. You know how scared you are sometimes to ever say anything? But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're praying in other tongues on all occasions, you know, just in your car, and you're just like, hey, and you're walking in, and you walk somewhere, and then you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. You yourself says, no, no, don't do it. But the power of God says, I like total side, you know, you just leave your car. You're like, I'm out, right? You just go right to it because you're filled with the power of God. You have the boldness of God and you don't care what happens. And a lot of times, we'll do something, we'll do ministry for God, and then we'll be rejected. And then your feelings get hurt. Then your pride gets hurt. And then you're sad about it. And then you're not walking in the Spirit anymore. What did Jesus say when he sent them out two by two? If you go to a place and they reject you, just wipe that dust right off and go on to the next one. Come on now. Y'all got dirty shoes. Wipe them off in the Holy Ghost. Just wipe them off. If they don't accept it, that's all right. You planted a seed. You weren't supposed to be the harvest. You maybe weren't even supposed to be the water, but you planted a seed. It's not up to you what that soil looks like. You might have thrown it down and it might have fell on fertile soil and you don't even know it, or it could have been hard ground, but at least you threw a seed. God's the one who's going to bring the harvest. You're supposed to go out. You're supposed to preach the good news, set the captive free, heal the sick, raise the dead. You're supposed to preach the gospel. You're supposed to be an ambassador for Christ. You're supposed to be the one that goes out and does the things that God has called you to. You have giftings, you have mixes in your life because God made you like that because he wants to use it in your life to preach the gospel. But when you deny that, you deny what God wants to do through you, and maybe you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to be filled again, like I've been baptized before. I'm going to get to that in a second. But what you've been clothed with got crusty. What you've been clothed with for so long has not been washed in God's word. It's not been washed in his spirit. And it's crusty. And it's dirty. And it's nasty. And God wants to do it again. He wants to give you some new clothes today. He wants to fill you up with some new fresh anointing. He wants to blow in this place and in your life and through your life in a new way. You got to be a new wineskin if you want new wine. Come on. I'm sweating. That's how you know it's going good. Hallelujah. Woo. I don't know why I keep doing that. It's probably because we don't have a choir. I need a choir. Stop it. I'm sorry. I said stop it. I know. That's why I need a choir. I got no wheels. You hear that? Stop it. Okay. I'll keep preaching. Spirit upon, activation, right? You're filled. God filled the whole house, and there appeared to be divided tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, pneuma, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, pneuma, enabled them or gave them utterance. See, after you know Jesus and the Spirit of God lives in your heart, the next step is to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it is not water. It is power and fire. It is power and fire. Some people think you need to work to receive this gift. Crazy. We thought the same thing about salvation. Well, what do I have to give? You receive the gift. Now, following Jesus, accepting Christ, this is free. Salvation is free. But it does cost you everything. Think about that. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. Do on that. Hallelujah. Some people think you need to work to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, but you cannot earn a gift. You can't earn a gift, right? If I work for it, that's my pay. It's my wage. This is a gift. It's no longer a gift if you have to work for it. This is what you must do. You got to desire this gift. Earnestly seek this gift. You got to yearn for it. So that way, when the gift comes to you, you're going to receive it, you're going to appreciate it, and then you're going to use it. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, we are human. We're human. But we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons. Come on now, we just read about it, Ephesians 6. Not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. And then it goes on in verse 5 and says, we destroy every proud obstacle, everything that comes in our way that keeps people from knowing God. Did you know being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the evidence of other tongues, prophecy, or any of the other gifts actually has nothing to do with Christians? If that happened in here, that's awesome. Did you know the main reason for these gifts? The main reasons for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, knowledge, faith, prophecy, gifts of the Spirit when it comes to miracles, words of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are for the non-believers. Think about it. In the 120 in the upper room, they could have just stayed there. Let's just lay hands on each other. Hallelujah. And let's just keep getting filled, keep getting filled, keep getting filled until we're all falling out in the Holy Ghost. And whoever gets up, lay hands on everybody else so they stay out. So they never use the bathroom and then they wet themselves. I don't know. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. What happened was immediately when they're filled with the Holy Ghost, they walked out, they preached the gospel, and over 3,000 people accepted Christ then and there. And guess what? We always focus on Peter. Peter came out and he spoke with that. See, I'm gifted in this because God has called me to preach the good news. What happened to the other 119 people? They were ministering in their gifts of all the 300,000 plus people. Don't forget about them. You think that you have to be behind a pulpit. You were never called to be behind a pulpit. But you were called to be a preacher of God's gospel. You were called to be an ambassador for Christ. You were called to go. You were called to be filled with power to do what God has called you to do. We got to work together as a team. Come on now. Thank you, God. Here's an example of what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens when you start speaking with other tongues as well. when you speak with other tongues, it's weird, okay? Let's just get past that. It's weird. It doesn't make earthly sense, but it makes spiritual sense, okay? When you speak in other tongues, it's for your spirit. It's you talking to God with a heavenly language, a perfect language. It builds up and increases your faith. It's a perfect heavenly language that you talk directly to God, and it gives us rest in our minds and allows the Spirit of God to take control. You ever prayed in the Spirit and try to think a dirty thought? Can't do it. You just pray on stronger. I mean, there's been studies of what happens when you pray in the Spirit. Things in your mind and your brain start activating. It starts lighting up. Acts 19:1 through 6 says, when Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. On the coast, where he found several believers, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He said to them, no, they replied. We haven't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And he says, then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism calls for repentance of sin. This is John the Baptist baptizing people in the water. Says, you know, repent, repent, for the kingdom is near. Repent, repent, for Jesus Christ is coming. And this is what these guys did. They're believers in the Messiah, and they were baptized in water. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Then, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with other tongues, and they prophesied. What's cool is it describes different baptisms here. Okay? You have salvation. Salvation is found in Jesus alone. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's the only way to the Father. There is no other way up the mountain. There is no other way. There's not these multiple things. No, those are slippery slopes, and you will fall to your death. Okay? There's one way up to the mountain, and it's Jesus Christ to get to God the Father. Okay? Repentance of sin is water baptism. John's baptism always leads to the baptism of Jesus Christ. Baptism one, accepting Christ into your heart and confessing your sins, being baptized in water. Number two is the Holy Spirit baptism, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, prophesying, or some other Holy Spirit manifestation. There's five instances in the New Testament when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and all five of them had a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Four times included speaking in other tongues. One time said prophecy, and the fifth time we don't know, but somebody tried to buy it. I gotta buy that. You can't buy a gift from God. That's evil, right? Something else happened. There is a manifestation every time God fills his people. Now, being clothed with power from on high, it does take faith. It takes faith. Your salvation takes faith. You believe in someone you've never seen. Understand that. That's faith. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's an act of our obedience. And it's saying, God, I want your will over my own. Somebody explained it once like this. You're standing in a river, and God is flowing in this river. This is God's river flowing. And a lot of us don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we're standing in the river asking God to have us submit. What God wants you to do is lay down, get on your back, and just start flowing. Just start going down that river. But oftentimes we stand up and we just resist. Let the Spirit, the river flow. The Spirit of God just blow upon you and fill you. Just submit to the flow of the river. Allow his will to overtake your own. I love that example. Now, the last thing is this, step three. This is the final step, Spirit continuous. See, I've been saved. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but this is where I live. This is what I need. The final step is Spirit continuous. It's a resaturation, a reclothing of the Holy Spirit. Why can we say that? See, Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. All the disciples and a bunch of other people were on the day of Pentecost, right? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches us. But later on, the Bible teaches us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Well, how can that be if we're not supposed to be filled again, filled again? Filled again. Acts 4, two more chapters later in verse 31 says, after prayer, they got together and they were praying. The meeting place shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? Then they preached the word of God with boldness. I'm so excited for today because I'm going to pray for you in just a second. And you're going to go out and you're going to be completely different. You're going to be filled with something that maybe you haven't been filled with ever before, or you're going to get refilled with something that you were filled with before. You're going to get clothed with power on high. And it says every single time some manifestation happened, some boldness came on them, and they did the works of the ministry. They got in the game. Being clothed again with God's Spirit is for continuous works of ministry in our lives. Pastor Mark and I can contain, we can agree with this. You can give and give and give and give and give, and then the next person comes to you and they want something from you, and you got nothing else to give. And that's our own fault because we didn't get refilled to pour out. God is always willing to fill you up. And when you're filled continuous for ministry in your life, it's for every day. It's for the lifelong game. Lifelong game. There's one baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there are many infillings of the Holy Spirit. He can come upon you and saturate you and clothe you with power over and over and over again. It's Spirit continuous. I'm going to say one more verse here, and then I'm going to say just a couple more things, and then we're going to ask God to do something amazing. Ephesians 5:18 says this. Don't be drunk with wine. Why? What's it going to do if you get drunk with wine? It's going to what? That's what the Bible says. It's going to ruin your life. It says, instead be filled. That word filled right there is Greek. It's a Greek word that's a verb. A verb is an action word. This Greek word filled means this, to make full. To fill to capacity. And another is to make complete. Come on now. Who does not need to be filled this morning to capacity? Who does not want to be complete in Christ Jesus? Who does not want to have the Holy Spirit just fill them beyond belief? Three stages of the Holy Spirit in believers' lives. Number one, His Spirit within us at salvation. We're traded to God's team. Number one. Number two, the Spirit upon us clothes us with the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This empowers us for the game of life. Number three, refilled, reclothed, being baptized again. It keeps us going in the game. Keeps us going. Being endued with power from on high that Jesus promised will activate you. It'll clothe you with power to win on God's team. Listen, we're not going to win this world by persuasion. Persuasion is everywhere. We will win this world by godly demonstration. In the last days, He will pour out His Spirit upon all people, on all flesh. There'll be dreams, signs, wonders, and miracles. There'll be visions. Those are all demonstrations of what God is doing. God will fill all of His people to do something for Him to get in the game. Kingdom of light. Kingdom of light. Church, will you stand? I'm going to ask God to do something. I'm going to read one verse, and we're just going to allow God to minister. Hallelujah. I want to pray this prayer that I wrote. Holy Spirit, pneuma, breath of fresh life, air in motion, will you blow now? Will you fill this room? Will you breathe on us as it is necessary for us to live? Will you, God, clothe your church with your power again? Acts chapter 8, verse 14 and 17 says this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria, now Samaria were a mixed race people. What's awesome about America is most of us, we have no idea where our ancestors are from, right? We're just a big old collaboration of just people. Just all these things. Samaritans were the same. They were a different people group. They were the ones that were outcasts. When the apostles of Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only believed or been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then Peter and John laid hands upon these believers. And what happened, church? They received the power from I. They received pneuma. They received life. They received the wind, the breath. They received a refreshing. They received the power of the Holy Ghost. Right now, if you today say, first things first, if you never accepted Christ as your Savior, every head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to raise your hands to heaven. If you say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. For the first time, I need Jesus. For the second time, I need Jesus. I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. I see those hands. See those hands. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Right where you're at, if you're accepting Christ for the very first time, I want you to follow after me in this prayer. Jesus. Everyone, will you just repeat after me and let's make it comfortable for me. Jesus, I give you my life. I recognize I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. I recognize that you are the Messiah, that you were once dead, but you're alive. The grave is empty. And I just ask right now that you fill my life. I invite you in as to be my master and my Savior, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So if you spirit, I just want you to come up here right now. Come up right here. I'm just gonna lay hands on you. We're gonna ask God just to flow in a special way. Come on up, come on up. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit or you want a refilling of His Spirit, you want a refilling of His Spirit, come up now. You're only gonna get what you want. Man, I need to be refreshed. I need to be clothed with power from on high. You need the Spirit of God to come upon you in a new way. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't want any of these things, that means that every single day that you are in that crowd, you're walking with boldness. You got faith be unspeakable. That you're ready to go out and preach the good news. You don't need a refreshing. You got it. You can never be refilled too many times. Thank you, God. I just have this picture. A lot of you are like cars. A lot of you are like cars. And you think about your life like this. Do you go to the gas station? Do you go to the gas station to get refueled? Well, you need to come to God to get refueled this morning. You're running on fumes. You're a quarter tank. You're a half tank. Remember to be filled. This word filled is a Greek word, verb, to make full, to fill to capacity, to be complete. That's what God wants to do this morning. This is the message that He had for you. He wants to make you complete, to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be full beyond capacity. If that's you today and you want to receive the baptism, the anointing, the clothing with power, I just want you to reach your hands to heaven. I'm going to recognize that's who you are, that if you're up here. If you're up here. And I'm just going to lay hands on you. I just want to be obedient to what God is saying and what His Word says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to lay hands and we're just allow God to move. People who are in charge of the lights. Awesome. Thank you. Brent, will you just minister? You can keep my mic on if you want. And I just want to stir the atmosphere, but you just whatever God is saying, just flow, flow. Father, we thank you right now. All right. If you wanted to receive the baptism.